Welcome to the podcast of Focus 580, featuring interviews with newsmakers and experts on international affairs and daily life, hosted by David Inge at WILL Radio, Urbana, Illinois. Please support this service by becoming a member and visit us on the web at will.uiuc.edu.
Good morning. This is Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to have here back on the program once again, Sandy Mason. She's horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. She is here once a month, always on Tuesday, to talk about things that grow in the home landscape. And this is your opportunity to call in here with questions about maybe some problems that you have been having, or you're looking for some suggestions about particular things to plant. Any and all questions that have to do with trees and shrubs, flowers, stuff you can eat, stuff that just looks nice, stuff that grows in the home landscape, also houseplants, we can do that too. And in all of that, I'm sure that Sandy will do her best to help you out if you have a problem. And it may indeed be that people are still thinking about problems that hanging around from last year, or they're thinking about things that they would like to plant now in the growing season ahead. So any and all of that is certainly welcome. 333-9455 is the Champaign-Urbana number. And we do also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. And then here locally in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's always an exciting time to be here.
Well, this is, you mean any time or this
well,
time of year?
Well, I should say any time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is true that we now are into things are really going out outside.
Yeah.
And you know that, yes, indeed, it is spring. And pretty soon things are going to be just going great guns and you will be able to get out there and whatever it is you want to do. We haven't passed our average date of last frost.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
Maybe like about 2 weeks away still. But it won't be that long before we can start planting the more tender things. And people will be planting tomatoes and flowers, and it'll be great.
And we're always optimistic at this point. There's just tremendous optimism, and it's going to be better than it was last year.
Yes, and how long will it
and
take
we're
for
here
that
to
be crushed? How long will it take for the bunnies to come out and start chewing away at all the tender little plants that you have?
Okay, David, stop it.
All right. We have a number of callers. I'll try. It's not easy. We have a number of callers. In fact, the lines are all full, so we will get right at it, and we'll start with someone in Urbana, and this is line number one.
Yeah, hi. Hello. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Wanted to ask you, what is the fastest growing vine that's a perennial that would be good to train on a fence or trellis or anything else?
And you're just wanting it for just to cover something or
flower
or probably one of them that's going to grow really well for you is sweet autumn clematis or clematis, depending on how you want to say that.
Sweet autumn, you said?
Mm-hmm. And it's the one that kind of blooms later on the season, kind of end of August, first of September or so. And it really is covered with white flowers, and they're very fragrant. But it's very fast-growing, pretty tough vine. Can't hardly beat it.
I see. When does that really start cruising?
Cruising as in really growing fast?
Yeah.
Well, once it starts warming up, it really takes off.
So it's the first year it'll go pretty fast. You don't have to wait 2 or 3 years for it to get
It really does grow fast. To be honest with you, it, to the point where probably every year you're probably going to cut it down and
now,
then let it regrow.
Is that also a shade?
Will it grow in shade?
Yeah.
It'll take some shade. I wouldn't put it in a lot of shade. I think it'll grow in the shade. I just don't think you'll get very many flowers. If flowers aren't an issue for you, then you may not care, but it won't grow as fast.
I see. Well, thanks a lot.
Sure.
All right, thanks for the call. My experience with clematis is that they can be kind of pesky, and that they particularly can be difficult to get established.
The sweet autumn or the other one?
Well, it may be just the varieties that I have tried.
Maybe you had the big flowered ones. Have you had the big flowered ones?
I don't recall what I know that I have tried some white ones and some blue or purple ones, and had really mixed success.
Yeah. Well, sweet autumn is the one that blooms later in the season, and it's a very small flower, but there's lots of them.
Okay.
So it's actually a different species than that big flowered one that we normally get. And you're absolutely right. The big flowered one is a little touchier, you know, needs a little bit better requirements, you know, well-drained soil, but moist and all that kind of good stuff. But that sweet autumn is one that really will grow.
Okay, very good. Let's go to Champaign here for someone else. Line two. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Got a few questions here. First one is about lilacs, and we have one that's in the ground that's doing really wonderfully, and we have another one that's in a pot that's actually starting to bud and even flower. Can we transplant that now, or should we wait till the fall? The pot, it's, you know, the standard, I think, 2-gallon size or something, and it seems to be doing okay in there. And then the other part of it was, some people say plant it near another lilac to keep it really doing well. So,
I don't know. They like neighbors or something?
Yeah, you know,
they get lonely.
They hate to be alone.
So, actually, the one we have by itself is actually doing really, really well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've never heard that before.
You never heard of that? Okay.
Lonely lilacs.
Yeah, lonely lilacs. So, maybe they were thinking, that, you know, they'd like them in a hedge or something like
that.
So they have
and,
them together.
Yeah. You're right. But they really don't. They're not like male and female and all that good stuff. So you really don't have to plant them. But if you think they are happier that way, that's great. I would go ahead and plant it, to be honest with you. I'd go ahead and plant it. It's been out. Is this something you just purchased?
It's been out.
Been in the pot?
Yeah, been in the pot for about almost a year. We got it at a lilac festival last year, which was like in May or something like that. And it just looked like a twig, but now it's actually doing really well. So
I'd go ahead and plant it.
Just go ahead and plant it.
Okay. Sure. Okay. They're easier to take care of, the whole thing. I'd get it out there.
Okay.
Sure.
The other question, rhododendrons. I know you told us put the sulfur in the ground and do all that stuff.
Didn't do it, did you?
No, we didn't do it because we had somebody put them in and we had, you know, I guess that person didn't really know a lot about it. Anyway, this poor thing has been there for 3 years in a corner, gets a lot of good sun, and it looks like it struggles every year. It does a little bud, little flower here and there, and we're just thinking, should we put it out of its misery? And try again somewhere else, because now we're thinking a flowering tree, a little bit taller flowering tree would be better in that spot. But, you know, what do we do? I mean, can we do anything with it? Do we just let it go or, you know, just give it up?
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, part of it is up to you. If it's still somewhat aesthetically pleasing,
no, it's all
not,
brown and
shrimp. Well, then I'd say, how do you play taps? Maybe taps time. Because it probably will struggle every single year, and it'll get a little less aesthetically pleasing every year. Unless you want to try, like, transplant, you know, actually prepare an area, transplant it to another area, and then, you know, you might be surprised it might come out of it a little bit better. But they really do, unless the soil's acidic enough, they really do struggle horribly.
Can we put it in a pot, or is it better just not in a pot?
You know, if I was going to put it in a pot, I'd put it in a large pot. It's certainly easier to amend the soil if it's just in a pot.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking.
Sure. And, you know, maybe you want to try. If you just feel like you don't want to, you know, completely give up on it, which I know a lot of us are really hard to do that kind of thing. So maybe you want to try that. Probably the biggest problem with having it in the pot is keeping it moist.
Oh.
You know, you don't want it to dry out, and obviously in containers it's harder.
So the idea is to put the sulfur in, right? And
with peat moss and a lot of organic matter.
Stuff, compost, mushroom compost.
Yeah, really work it in well. Make sure it's in an area where it's not going to be real wet, but it's going to stay moist.
Okay.
A little shade is fine.
Okay.
And then using some acidifying fertilizer often is good too.
So full sun is okay?
Full sun is, you know, it's okay. It's harder to keep them moist, but it's probably best if you can put them like on the east side of a house where they get all morning sun and then shaded in the hot afternoon.
Okay, that's going to be better. Okay.
Yeah.
And
last
question I'll hang up is just we got so excited this weekend. We almost went to the flower store to get some stuff. But then, you know, we've had not great luck with pansies in the middle of the summer. Of course, I guess it's just the heat.
Right.
What else would be good for a flower, you know, bed, pretty prominent area, gets a lot of good morning sun, actually is facing southeast, and, you know, would be good stuff to put in there that would last pretty much the full summer.
Okay.
Big order, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah,
I'll go ahead and hang up
with
this.
But you know, you can't hardly beat petunias. I don't know how you feel about petunias, but there's lots of new ones now.
Okay.
The tidal wave series, you know, if you're really wanting one that spreads out and actually kind of fluffs up into the point where it's actually looks like a tidal wave kind of are those. You can actually get some very small ones that are actually kind of petite flowers, and the plant itself is much more compact. So there's a lot of varieties.
We put those in the back. We do notice that they get a little stringy and weedy, and we have to go out and clear them all out. I mean, is that just normal?
Might be normal. I don't know if you fertilize. There actually are ones that actually do better if you can do a little fertilization. And actually, sometimes when August sort of rolls around, they need a little haircut sometimes.
Okay.
You know, they start getting a little. But then good fertilization really does help petunias. They'll look a lot better.
What do you think about marigolds and stuff like that? Do they do well in the summer?
Sure. Marigolds are great.
Okay.
Sure. There's no problem with that. And actually, I think, you know, verbenas would be another good one you might think about. So any of those, I think, probably be good.
Great. Well, wonderful.
Sure.
Thanks for all
good
your
luck.
Help.
All
sure.
right.
Bye.
Thanks for the call. Our guest this morning as part of Focus 580 is Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County, and she's on the program every month, always on Tuesday. We'll talk about lawn and garden care, things that grow in the home landscape. And if you have questions, give us a call. 333-9455 here for Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Next caller is in Aurora, line number four, right here. Hello.
Yes, hi, good morning. And as ever, it's great to hear your voice.
Great,
Sandy.
Good. Good to hear yours.
I have glory of the snow up in my garden. And could you suggest any other plant that I could put in that would come up that early? It's so great to see something blooming.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? A little, you know, small bulb.
Yeah,
easy to plant. Well, you know, even anything like, I don't know if you like scillas or the Siberian squill. They're another blue flower, but that's kind of a down-facing flower. But those that come up and very reliable and actually kind of reseed themselves and look very pretty. Grecian windflower, I don't know if you're familiar with those. They look like a daisy type, sort of an early daisy. Very, very pretty.
And when do you plant windflowers?
Well, really all those bulbs, really, we're talking about October. So
plant them in October.
Right, right,
okay.
Right. And that's when they're probably going to be available anyway. So.
And I'm going to put compost down. Which of the six composts would you suggest is the best?
Which compost?
Yeah.
As opposed to, I guess
well, I have a list from a garden book that gives six.
Six different ones?
Yeah, I wish I had the book. I didn't know it would be a question.
Well, you know, I know there's mushroom compost and all these other different ones. I think to me, it's the stuff that's readily available for you. You know, and something that, and you want to make sure that it truly is compost, as in it's being decomposed, as in not, you know, wasn't horse manure yesterday. Now they're calling it compost. Just make sure that it's well decomposed. And that's probably going to be your best bet on any of the compost is just to make sure that it's like that. If you had some very specific things, you know, sometimes they have some that are made more from pine bark and all that stuff that we kind of like for rhododendrons and blueberries.
Yeah, there's one that's from cocoa.
Yeah, well, and cocoa bean mulch is just fine. It tends to be a little bit more...
it blows away.
Yeah, it tends to be a little bit more expensive. There are some concerns if you have puppies about, you know, them actually eating it. There's some toxicity concerns there. It tends to get a little slimy when it's wet. But a lot of times people like the way it looks. So, you know, that's kind of more of a mulch than it is compost, which are two different things.
Uh-huh.
Right. You know, compost is normally considered a soil amendment. We'd actually mix it within the soil. Mulch is something we'd actually put on top.
Well, I wanted something to keep the weeds down.
You're probably really talking more about mulch, which is something a little bit different.
Mulch.
Yeah, and that a lot of it has to...
What should I use?
Well, a lot of it that has to do with what you want it to look like. A lot of it has to do with that. Some people don't really like the pine bark or the big chips tend to float away or blow away, so they aren't good. But I would just go, you know, if you got a local landscape recycling center, you might check that out. But really, a lot of it is just purely aesthetics, to be honest with you, with the organic type mulches.
I just want to keep the weeds down.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Sure, sure.
Okay, well, thanks for the call. I've been thinking about the fact that, you know, particularly this time of year, there's a lot of tree trimming going on, mm-hmm. so people might have access to recently chipped and shredded stuff. I've even thought about, you know, maybe it would be worth getting a small one for the home use, and then anything that you could do that, just run it through there. Then the thing I'm thinking, well, okay, so then how long do you have to compost that before you can use it? Because you're not supposed to take that grain stuff and then put it right out.
Right, right, absolutely. So usually we would say, like, you'd want to compost it for a couple months, like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
And so that, for a lot of folks, they really don't want to wait that long. So that's why it's usually good if you can get it. either put it in a spot where you can let it sit. And then if you do that over a number of years, then you always have some old stuff that you can use. And that would be probably the ideal thing, that you can always just take from the older part and kind of go from there. But as you said, we really do recommend, especially on young plantings, young trees and stuff, not to use fresh mulch, as in it was a live tree yesterday, now it's mulch.
Yeah. So what's the problem with doing that?
Well, it really, as it decomposes, especially when it's brand new like that, and as it decomposes, it actually, the bacteria and stuff actually use nitrogen, and they'll actually rob nitrogen from the soil.
Okay.
And on bigger plants, probably not going to be an issue, but certainly on young seedlings, young trees, it certainly could be an issue where they actually would take nitrogen from the soil.
Okay. Well, let's go on here to Champagne, line 3. Hello.
Hi, mm-hmm. Yes. I have 2 questions. I thought I only had 1, but after that last discussion, I have 2. I was thinking of getting compost and just putting it on top of the soil around the bulbs, because I can't really dig that area, but also I want to plant annuals, you know, after the bulbs are finished blooming.
Mm-hmm. And
is
that
a problem? And you're on top?
And you're just wanting to sort of add something to the soil, or you're thinking about fertility, or what's kind of your thinking?
Actually, I'm thinking both. The soil's not great, but I can't dig the whole thing up because then I
sure.
lose all my bulbs.
And that's fine. If you want to put an inch or so, I wouldn't put it real heavy. That's probably the big thing. And you can certainly use, despite what I just said, you certainly could use compost as mulch. I mean, a lot of times people don't do that, but you certainly could do that. So there's nothing wrong with using compost as mulch. And so you... Absolutely. If you want to do that, once your bulbs are kind of, you want to go ahead and do that around them, that's just fine.
Okay, but it's not going to stop any weeds, is that right?
It may. Absolutely, it may. And if it's been actively composted mulch, it shouldn't have any weeds in it. I mean, composted compost. It shouldn't have any weeds in it, one would hope.
That's right. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, so it should do the same thing. It certainly can act as a mulch. You
okay.
certainly can use compost that way, too.
Okay. My other question is a tree question. We have a porch on the north side of our house, a screen porch, and in the afternoon the sun from the west comes in there and we'd like to block it. We used to have a tree that blocked it, but the tree needed to be removed. And so somebody suggested for a lower growing tree that's not going to get into our gutters and our roof and so forth, we might try a magnolia. I don't care about the flower, although I know magnolias are pretty, but it's more as something to block the sun
mm-hmm.
from the west.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thought about that? And if a magnolia is good, do you have any suggestions of certain species that would be better than others?
Mm-hmm. Well, and actually, magnolia would be just fine. You know, I think actually any sort of any of those small trees that we tend to leave the branches on lower, so those mm-hmm. low branching ones, I think any of those actually would probably work well for you. Certainly, magnolias have big leaves and certainly would be a denser shade maybe than some other trees. So you certainly could do that. I would look with any of the magnolias. I would look for some that say that they're later blooming, because one of the problems is that sometimes the magnolias will bloom and then we'll get a hard frost and then it just looks like wet paper bags hanging, so it doesn't look very good. So get ones that are later flowering, like the lily flowered one. There's a nice yellow one called Elizabeth. So there's really some, just ask the, wherever you're getting, ask them, you know, is this one that's going to flower later, kind of thing.
Okay.
But certainly you could go with even things like red buds or service berries or, you know, any of those smaller type of, you know, small trees that tend to be multi-stemmed, I think would help. And they'd be very pretty. You might as well enjoy the flowers. So,
well, that's true, but that's
sure.
not the main purpose. And it's
sure,
on the back
sure.
of the house.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't really show.
Sure.
Just thought of another. Oh, we have a number of trees on our property that really get taken by the Japanese beetles.
Mm-hmm.
How are redbud and service berry or magnolia for that?
I don't know that I've ever heard on, you know, just right off the top of my head, I don't know. We'd have to really check on that. I'm not sure I've ever seen Japanese beetles on magnolias, so that might be one good thing, because it's kind of a, you know, pretty stiff leaf, and so maybe it's not quite as attractive. Red buds, I think they will go to red buds and service berries. Certainly service berries, I think they will probably go to.
Right.
So that
right.
that might be another good thing for a magnolia.
Okay, well, thank you very
sure.
much.
All right,
sure.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. Let's go next to Piatt County, line 1.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
My first question is, I had such enormous lamb's ears last year. They did so well. And now I'm standing here at the window looking at them, and part of them are just looking so good again,
mm-hmm.
but part of them just have that dead brown,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I just cut those off, or do I have to cut them out?
Yeah, they kind of do that, lamb's ear does, and it's kind of some of the older growth and stuff just dies out over the wintertime. And so, actually, if you go in there, you'll find that a lot of that just pulls out. You'll find that it's actually the stems are kind of rotten, so you can just pull a lot of out. You may pull out some of the good stuff, but it sounds like it's not going to matter anyway because you got plenty of it. Either cut it or pull it out, but you'll find that if it's not starting to green up, or in this case, silver up, then it's probably not going to.
Okay.
So I just sort of clean it out, and they just seem to do that. That's kind of their thing, I guess.
What about lavender? I had some huge lavenders, and then I think I read where you're not supposed to trim them off until they show new growth.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and I looked at mine the other day, and they were starting to show a little bit of growth, and that's just because, you know, we're never quite sure on those, on how much they're going to die back over the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wait until they start to show you what's still alive, then you can do some judicious pruning, and you won't have to go back next, you know, again to take out some of the dead stuff. And so you'll find out real quick how much. And so it should be soon. If yours isn't budding out, it should be very soon.
And then my last question concerns, I'm also standing here looking at my grape hyacinths. Why are they so weird? They always are.
They're weird?
I mean, you know, they're always, like, their leaves come up in the autumn and then, you know, it's a
That's
strange.
That's their job.
Okay.
That's just what they do.
That's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the nature of what they do. The leaves come up first.
Okay.
And then so I'm sorry. Nothing I can do about that one. But they're really pretty. I mean, I like grape hyacinths. They spread nicely, and they look so nice with daffodils
they
and
really
stuff.
Are
so.
Spreading, yes.
Yeah, they do spread. Yeah, maybe more so than you want to.
Okay, thanks so much.
Sure.
Right, thanks for the call. Let's go somebody on cell phone here, line number two. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
My question is, I've got a pine tree, and I'd like to plant some plants underneath there. What would be something that could live there? Because I know sometimes a lot of plants don't like living under a pine. So could you give me some suggestions?
Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I think it's going to be hard to grow anything kind of within the drip line of the tree. It's just that is such a dry, dry shade and a deep shade, and the pine roots tend to be right at the top surface. So I will tell you, it's very difficult to get anything to grow within the drip line. If you can bring it out a little bit, then you can get all kinds of things. You get a little bit more sun. Certainly, you know, rhododendrons, azaleas love that kind of area where they can get some shade in the afternoon. And then it's just going to give you a lot more, more selection if you can bring them out a little bit. I have gotten, vinca vine, if you're just trying to get something under there, I have gotten vinca to grow somewhat underneath pine trees, but you're going to have a really hard time, I will tell you.
All right.
So you may just want to enjoy the pine needles and put something in front of it.
Spray paint them green or something.
Yeah, there you go. But if you put something in front.
Thanks.
Sure.
All right,
sure.
Thanks. I think it's like with the black walnuts. The stuff that will grow under them is stuff you don't really want.
Yeah, right.
The junky stuff will grow under them. Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay, let's go to Champagne, line three. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I have a question about thistles. I'm pretty sure there's some kind of thistle. They're growing in my yard. Last year I tried to put Roundup right on them, and they died back, but then they came back. And I just want to know how to get rid of them.
Okay. Yeah, thistles can be really hard because they have a really big taproot. So sometimes it's very difficult to try to get them out. I'm a little surprised that the Roundup didn't work. What time of year did you put them on? Was it kind of... Because this time of year would normally be very good to try to kill them off because they're growing actively and...
Okay, it was kind of more towards the middle to late part of summer.
Yeah, if it's real hot or if it's real dry, sometimes the herbicides just don't work very well because the plant just doesn't really take them in as well. So you may find that this time of year is a much better time to do that. These are within your lawn, is that what you said? Or
well, they're also kind of in with my flowers and perennials. Yeah, they're really in my lawn.
Right. So I don't know if you use any of the broadleaf weed killers, like for dandelions and stuff, that should help too. But I think you're going to find is particularly important. So like right now, it'd actually be a good time. We've had some moisture, the plants are actively growing, it's good temperatures, you know, all those kinds of things that you may find actually is real helpful to kill them
off. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
They're tough.
I think that's a real, that's probably a real important thing for people to keep in mind about these systemic herbicides,
mm-hmm.
that they do work best when the plants are actively growing, because what you want, you know, you're just you're sticking it on the surface of the plant and relying on the plant to suck that stuff up and take it down into the root system and circulate it through the plant. And when you put it on, it's going to make a big difference as to how well it works.
So when people do say, you know, it just didn't work for me, that's when you have to start to step back and say, okay, when did I apply it? What was going on? Was it hot? You know, much above 85 degrees, most of the herbicides and stuff are just not going to work. So just sort of thinking through all that. So good description. Okay. Fine job, David.
Thank you very much. maybe you can make
You've learned something.
I 25 years of spending time with you and a lot of other people on this show. If I haven't learned something by now, there's something wrong with me. And there is, really. But we don't have time to go into that now. We're at our midpoint here with Sandy Mason, and we'll take as many questions as we can, 333-9455, and toll-free 800-222-9455. Your chance to call in and ask about things that grow in the home landscape. We'll go next to Urbana, line number one. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to send out a plea to people to look for garlic mustard in their yards and land and get rid of it.
You know, I'm amazed at how much, you know, I used to only see garlic mustard, which is an invasive exotic. I used to always see it in, you know, in the woodland areas. And I'm amazed lately how much I've seen it in people's backyards. So it is absolutely getting to be an urban weed that we never saw before. So
it first showed up in my yard, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And I thought, oh, a volunteer plant, and it has nice little white flowers. And the next year there were a lot more of them, and I thought
best to control them early.
Not a good sign, and so I started digging it out. But it keeps showing up, and although somebody from the state Department of Natural Resources told me he thinks that it's carried by animals along animal trails, I think it's also carried by birds because I find it under bushes, and I'm not on an animal trail. You know, I mean, it has to be coming from outside. But for people who don't recognize it, it's kind of an apple green. It's a lighter green than some of the other plants, and the stuff that I'm that has managed to volunteer in my yard, which I think it does just to spite me, because I spend major parts of my spring going to the family farm in Ohio and working on trying to get it out of the woodlands there. It's about 6 inches tall already, and the stuff that was growing last year. And for people who don't know, it overwinters and supposedly produces the flowers the second year and then supposedly dies. I'm not sure whether it actually dies or not. But it produces 10 gazillion little seeds, tiny seeds. And the thing is that if you, it's got multiple defenses. Please, I hope you don't mind my going on about this. For one thing, if you just yank it out, you often don't get it because the root, it has this nice little root that it has evolved that comes down. It looks like it's going straight in the ground, but it actually goes sideways a bit and then down. So if you just yank it, especially if the ground isn't really nice and loose, you just break it off at the root and it comes right back again. So what I do, especially if it's a good-sized plant, is I use a spading fork and I loosen the soil and then I yank it out. And also, if you lay it down and think that it's going to die, it'll keep doing its thing with its last ounce of juice, and it will flower and it will set seed.
Yeah.
And so, in Ohio, I put it on the burn pile and I burn it.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You can't just lay the plants aside when they're in flower. They'll go ahead and produce seed.
You can't burn it here in town in Urbana, so safe to put it in the bags that go to the compost, to the landscape recycling center?
I think what I would do is probably stick it in a black plastic bag and let it sit for a while, let it cook. I'd let it cook for a while.
Yeah, and just
I know it's a big issue, and that's the importance of people getting accurate identification of what kind of weeds they have, so they know how to control them. So,
do you have a website that people could look at to see what the thing looks like? Who don't recognize this invader? And by the way, for people who don't know, it may not seem like it's much of a problem in our yards, but it's the seeds get into the woodlands, and the plant gets a jump start on everything else, and it quickly overshadows the native spring wildflowers. I've had it taller than myself, not here in my yard because I don't let it get that big. But when I've had to pull out adult flowering plants that are going to seed, it can get quite tall, and it gets quite tall quite fast.
Yeah, actually, if you go to like the Nature Conservancy or Illinois Department of Natural Resources, their websites have certainly all those weeds on there, and people can get accurate identification and how to control them and all those good things.
Yeah,
so,
and the seedlings are sprouting now, too. So recognizing the seedlings and just getting those with a hoe, they're easy to get.
Yep.
Thanks a bunch.
Okay, thanks.
It is one of those things, that, and I think with the callers, it's true. It spreads very easily. It's very invasive. And I think also it's one of those things that once you recognize it, you start realizing that it's everywhere.
Yeah, right.
I got clued in it. I don't know if it was last year or year before, but I finally realized what it was. And I have some of it in my backyard. And then as I was walking around my neighborhood, I realized this stuff is everywhere.
Yeah. And actually when it comes up, it kind of looks almost like a violets, kind of a clump of violets if you didn't sort of pay attention a little bit. And so I think a lot of times people just say, oh, it's just one of those violet things coming up.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, let's go on to Savoy, line number two. Hello.
Yes. I have 30 plants of portulaca, I believe that's called another name too, primrose maybe. And I want to set them out, but I need to know what I can best do for soil and for them to come up for future years, and are they better in a row or clumps of four or five together, and what kind of winter cover of any. Anyway, just some stories about that.
Mm-hmm. And now, are you talking, is this something you just now purchased? Because probably not portulaca. Probably is primrose, which are two different plants.
The label on it says portulaca. It was from the grocery store. One was one half of 15 plants in December and 15 plants in early March. And they're through blooming. And the other thing is they haven't blossomed since, and I'm wondering if I should add some blossom chemical to it, too.
So what do the leaves look like? Are they kind of fleshy or rounded? Because primrose and portulaca are two completely different plants.
Oh,
that's why I'm trying to figure out which one it is.
Okay, just a second. I'll get to where they are.
Yeah, they're truly very different plants, and so it's hard for me to talk about it unless we know which one it is.
Oh, okay, and I bought them. Just a second. I need to set another radio. they're kind of a long leaf,
are their flowers real brightly colored?
Yes, very bright.
With like often with yellow centers,
right.
And
yes.
Now that sounds more like a primrose, which would be very typical of something we might purchase right now.
Yes,
because they're very common right now in the grocery stores and stuff.
And
so
the leaves have done wonderful. They've never reblossomed after the initial.
Mm-hmm.
thing, and so I was hoping the time I could have them blossom both indoors and outdoors, but I heard that read that you could set them out and they'd come up every year and so on. That was what I really want.
Right, which you certainly can, and some people have better luck with them than others. And then probably the big thing, if you can give them some shade in the afternoon, they hate hot sun.
Oh, okay.
So they really need to be, you know, if there was a place where, again, a sort of morning sun, afternoon shade, they like cool, moist soil, so high organic matter, so those kind of places, but yet they don't want to be wet during the winter time. Mm. So you got to find those little spots where you can do that kind of thing, even if you sort of make a little kind of a raised area, just a few inches, just to sort of get them up out of any kind of wetness, but then mix some compost or peat moss or whatever with there, and then just keep them cool and moist like that, and then have some success. But I will tell you, they do much better out in Washington State and some of those places where it doesn't get quite so hot. They don't really like our summers, but I have had people that do get them to winter over, so it can be done.
And then what kind of cover should I put them outdoors for the winter?
For the wintertime, I wouldn't do much more than anything. If you had like pine needles or even something like pine boughs, you know, anything that's going to mat down.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing like, you know, shredded leaves, maybe, if they're like oak or something, that's not going to mat very much.
Pine needles are close by. I'll use those.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Good luck.
A lot, Sam.
Sure.
Very good. We'll go on to the next caller. That's someone in Urbana, line number three. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about a hydrangea plant I purchased about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've set it outside, and, you know, it grows, but it never gets a flower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was this like a florist type hydrangea? Did it get it like at Mother's Day time? Or do you
probably
remember?
It was pink.
Okay, and you bought it and it was already in flower and uh-huh. all that kind of thing. Yeah, the florist type ones that we often see around Mother's Day time, those many times are ones that only bloom on old wood, as in the wood that was produced the year before. So they're like forsythias and lilacs. They have to have those old branches from the year before in order to produce flowers. And unfortunately, sometimes that gets winter killed, or if we prune them too early in the year or prune them too late in the year, those kinds of things where we lose that old wood.
Yeah, because I've tried it both ways, yeah. Cutting it down and leaving the wood.
Yeah, and then does it actually, you know, go ahead and bud out on that old wood? Or
it appeared to have buds. But I don't ever get a flower.
Yeah.
Gets leaves.
Unfortunately, a lot of those will do that. Well, you'll get all kinds of new growth, and it looks great, but unless it has some of that old wood left where it could have produced flower buds, then it just never flowers for you. And usually what I see with those is like every fourth year they bloom really well. So it's usually kind of the point where you can't really guarantee them every year. So, you know, maybe you just want to enjoy the leaves. It probably isn't anything you're doing if you're not pruning. As long as you're not pruning too late in the year or too early in the year, it may not be anything that you're doing. Maybe just the nature of the plant. If you truly want hydrangeas that are going to bloom regularly for you, then you may want to think about even like the Annabelles that are white, or you might think about some of the newer ones that are called like Endless Summer and some of those that actually bloom on old and new wood both.
Okay.
So,
would it be helpful to cover it up like a rose, like you would
sure.
cover a rose?
You certainly can try that. That absolutely can help, because I have a feeling that's exactly what's going on. You're losing that old wood, and it just doesn't have anything to flower on.
Okay, cool.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Go to line number one here for a champagne caller. Hello?
Oh, hi.
Yeah, hi.
Okay, let's see. We've got the, you know, the grass has been beautiful this time of year because mm-hmm. of all the rain and stuff. Mm-hmm. The only thing is, some seeded grass we put down, oh, it's been a few years now, but it seems to be like straw in some places, almost, you know, and you pull it up, and we thought at first it was grubs, and you can just kind of pick up patches of it, and it just comes out. And somebody said maybe aerating or something along those lines, but then I don't know if that's what it really needs.
Mm-hmm. So does it actually die out in those spots, or?
Yeah, it looks like it kind of has a lot of a, it's pretty brown and straw-like.
Okay, but do those ever green up?
Some parts of them do, yes.
Okay. I guess what I'm getting at is I wonder if you're not getting one of the perennial weeds in there, grassy weeds like nimblewill. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
My husband said something about duckweed, but he treated it for a while, and that seems to, because those are clumpy, and he seemed to have gotten that taken care of.
Well, that might have been tall fescue or something along those lines. But so I really wonder if you're not, because the thing with nimblewill, it's a warm season grass, so like right now it's a lot of times it's still brown. It hasn't really warmed up yet, and it does enough for it to go ahead and green up. It usually doesn't green up to like May.
Oh.
And so you'll see it start to green up, and it looks okay during, there's a different texture, but it looks okay during the summer and time. And then until we get, again, cooler weather in the fall, and then it'll go dormant because it's a warm season grass. It goes dormant early. So again, you get these brown spots in your lawn. And nimblewill's done very well over the last few years. So it's a perennial grassy weed.
Okay.
Difficult to control, I will tell you.
Okay.
Usually it requires either digging it out, or once it greens up, you can spot treat it with something like a non-selective herbicide, such as Roundup.
Okay.
And then reseed those areas.
So basically, this, it might look like grass, but it's really a weed. Is that what
That depends on how you want to look. I guess, you know, but yeah, normally it's considered a weed because it's not a very good turf type.
Okay.
And because it looks so different from Kentucky bluegrass, and because it's on this off cycle, it's never quite green at the same time that Kentucky bluegrass is, so it looks very different.
Okay.
But I think probably your big thing is if you could take that in somewhere and get it identified, and then you'd know whether nimblewill is really the issue or whether you're actually getting some dieback from some other reason. but I really wonder if that's not what's going on.
Okay, so nimble will is called, but mm-hmm. it should be identified.
Right, okay. right.
And basically the only thing to treat that is to just round up and stuff.
Right, or dig it out or whatever, because it's a perennial. You okay. can't, you know, crabgrass okay. preventer isn't going to help you on this one.
Okay, so we'll take a look. But how about just the aeration in general? Is that something?
It's great, you know, if you haven't done it for a while. Certainly if you're fertilizing on a regular basis, aeration is good. If you have clay soils, aeration is good. So as a common practice, you don't necessarily have to do it every year.
Okay.
But certainly, you know, if compacted soil, it certainly has some advantages.
It will help. Okay.
Sure.
The last question is about, you were talking about the florist bought stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We bought just recently a nice little arrangement that had tulips and hyacinths mm-hmm. and daffodils. Now, can I, once those die off, can I take those bulbs and replant them in the fall?
Sure. Actually, I go ahead and replant them now. As soon as I'm done
really?
With them, I just plant them. And you'll find that probably the daffodils will do just fine.
Okay.
Sometimes the hyacinths and tulips, you know, since they forced them, you know, into bloom, sometimes that seems to take a lot out of them, and you may not get much out of them. You know, you might get 1 year of flowering or something out of them for next year. But the daffodils, I've done that for years with daffodils, and it's wonderful.
And
it's a great way.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Now, could we replant them now if we wanted to? Would they keep flowering? Or they would not?
Well, they're pretty much whatever they're done right now, whatever flowers they have on right now is going to be it.
Okay.
So it's just usually I enjoy them indoors,
okay.
enjoy the flowers indoors,
we'll
and then I plant them outside.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because they smell wonderful. How about
sure, enjoy
them,
them.
Just keep watering them and that's it?
Sure,
okay.
sure.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right,
bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. We have maybe about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580 with Sandy Mason. She's horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. Once a month on a Tuesday, she's here, and we talk about things that grow in the home landscape. Questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, we had a lot of questions here, and I was saving some conversation about lawn. No, we don't have any – well, we almost don't have anybody on. So I think because you said that you were getting a lot of questions from mm-hmm. people about lawn.
Mm-hmm.
So is it now the time to start thinking if you're going to do fertilizer, weed control, now is the time?
I think that now's the time to just evaluate the lawn. Really, what are my main, you know, what do I want out of my lawn, number one? And then number two, what are the main problems? Is it really that I need to deal with this weed, or do I just need to thicken up the lawn? It's a great time to think about overseeding, you know, getting some other seed in there, make sure you get the seed down into the soil. You can't just sort of broadcast it on top. Get the seed down into the soil, and you may find just sort of thickening up the lawn is good because, you know, as long as you have open areas, you're always going to get weeds coming in. I mean, you're always going to have that problem. So sometimes just actually thinking about just getting the lawn healthier just by overseeding or fertilizing properly, those kinds of things sometimes can really go a long way in your problems with weeds.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to Champaign. We have someone here, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm glad we're talking about lawns. Last year, I had to have my side yard dug up for a pipe to the street, and I was kind of hoping that the grass would come back. But the only thing that's coming back, and this is a large area that was messed up,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing that's coming back are weeds. Now, I'm wondering, before I reseed that area, is it safe to use an herbicide on the weeds?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it depends on what kind of weeds you have. You may find you don't necessarily have to. Like right now, henbit is going crazy. It's a little plant. It's got kind of these scallop-shaped leaves. It's got little purple flowers. It's actually kind of mm-hmm. pretty. It's going crazy right now. Chickweed's going crazy because they're winter annuals, and so they come up very easily. But it's an annual. So right now, you can actually just very easily, it's easily to, comes up just with a hoe and just, you know, scrape it off, and, you know, you're out of there. If you had something like bindweed, you know, like a perennial weed, then absolutely I'd be dealing with that with something like a non-selective herbicide because it's real hard to control later. Much easier to control now than once you have grass down in there.
And then when can I put grass seed down?
If you were to use Roundup or something like that?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I mean, you can actually do it, you know, as soon as the weed, you know, browns up. We usually like to see that first so we know that it's dead. Mm-hmm. And then you just reseed right into it.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
you
not very long to wait then.
Right.
Very good.
Right.
Well, thank you
sure.
very much.
Uh-huh.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Roundup, I guess, was my understanding, one of the benefits of it is that actually it's not very persistent, that it breaks down pretty quickly.
And it's bound up pretty fast in organic matter. I mean, the only problem you'd ever have to worry is that if we had really sandy soils, and we don't have those, you know, around here, so generally we don't worry about that part of it. So that's what is one of the nice things about using it, is that you can go in right after it. Really, you could actually, once the spray dries, you could go right in and reseed if you wanted to.
Okay.
But usually we like to make sure that the weed's dead.
So you want to give it, what would you think, a few days, maybe?
Depends on the weather. A week, usually within a week, you start seeing yellowing and all that stuff. But again, it depends on the temperature. With the temperatures that we're having right now, it should happen fairly fast.
All right. Cell phone caller next, line 2. Hello.
Yes, I just wanted to go back a minute to the wild garlic. What's the best herbicide to control it? I have tried spot application with Roundup before, and it doesn't seem to have much effect on it. Is there some herbicide that you can spray over and over and over again if you need to in order to finally get rid of that?
Yeah, I guess, again, when are you spraying it normally?
Normally in the summertime after, and I heard what you said earlier about, you know, it's a lack of active growth and so on and so forth.
Right.
I have used a 2,4-D for general application over grass and so forth. Is that effective for it too?
And that should work too, really, either one of those. But I wonder about timing. You know, they'll die much better when they're small plants. So if you're getting the small plant, you know, the mature ones are really hard to kill. And if you could do it early in the season, you know, garlic mustard is one of the first things that greens up. And actually, a lot of times in December, it's still green. So it's very easy to spot. It's very easy, you know, even if you had a warm day very early in the spring, and that actually is a good time to do it when nothing else is up, you know, just, you know, apply it then. As long as it's, you know, above 55 degrees or so, it'll work. So you may be just timing.
Right, and it does have enough stem. Actually, there's no leaves, of course, on it, but it does have enough stem surface to absorb the 2,4-D then to control it.
You mean early in the spring or... Yeah, early in the season, you'll be amazed. It still has green leaves. I mean, the young plants often will still have green leaves.
Oh, I see. Okay, very good.
So early. So as long as, you know, try to get the young ones. You know, there is that time period where it kind of, we don't see it quite so much, but then we'll start seeing the young ones again. So here, it'll be blooming here in May, and you'll start seeing the young ones then later on. But again, make sure that, you know, it's not too hot, it's not too dry, those kind of things. But those should work for you.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Dalton City is next, line 3. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
I'm calling from Dalton City, Illinois. And 50 years ago, we planted about a 75-foot row of forsythia. It seems like the forsythia are not really blooming, maybe just 2 or 3 flowers at the end, and we've never cut it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But we noticed that the neighbors around us who have little cute forsythia plants pruned, theirs are bright with yellow, with lots of flowers. Does forsythia need pruned over its lifetime to bloom better?
Did it ever bloom well for you?
But it's an old forsythia from a 100-year-old place. But it's a good bloomer, but not in recent years.
Okay. Well, and it may need to be rejuvenated that way. And it does, they tend to bloom better on young wood. So you may find
this wood is as old a wood as it could possibly be. So you think a good cutting down may enhance it.
Yep. Because that newer growth tends to flower better for you. As long as it's one that's flowered sometime in the past,
you find little flowers on it, but it's not like everybody's new little forsythia that they've gotten at nurseries and things, you know?
Right. It's just some of the older varieties actually have a tendency to winter kill. So sometimes the flower buds would winter kill, and we never get much flowering out of them. So, but if this one was one that had a reputation of flowering, then I would totally cut it down and go for it. Otherwise, you may want to think about, and I know you don't want to do a whole new hedge, but some of the newer varieties are much better at not winter killing. So sometimes that's an issue, too.
Winter kill problem doesn't seem too bad.
Okay.
We got this 55 years ago from along the cemetery, so it's probably a species of, whatever word you want to call it, 125 years old.
Yeah, well.
But that can make a difference. Am I right?
Right. On which one it is. Because the newer cultivars and new varieties now, they've selected them to bloom, to be hardier. And that's always been an issue with forsythia that sometimes, because sometimes you'll see they only bloom where there's been snow cover. It's just on the bottom, and which is kind of weird. And so it's just that winter kill. Sometimes those flower buds winter kill because they bloom, you know, they produce flower buds on the year before. So they have to go through winter.
Let me ask you this. Like forsythia, where does it come from originally? Our country in North America, or does it come from a faraway land?
Forsythia, I'm not sure. I have a feeling it's probably an Asian plant. Maybe, you know, Japanese. I'm not quite sure. A lot of our exotics come from there. I'm just not sure on that one, to be honest with you. We'd really have to do some checking on that one.
Love your show.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Thank you very
much. Hi, lady.
Thanks.
We're just about at the end of the time. Maybe we have about a minute or so left. Is there anything in particular you would like to mention?
I think probably the big thing is if you have any kind of pruning, like tree, shrub, you need to be getting it done. And for the things we were just talking about, forsythia, lilac, anything that blooms really early, we'd wait until after they flower and then prune them. But if you have anything like some trees, shrubs that you're trying to do that are summer bloomers, then you definitely want to get that done here real soon because we're in that period.
Okay. And for people who are just itching to get out there and put something in the ground, are there some things, what could you be planting right now?
Actually, pansies. I planted some pansies the other day. Absolutely. They're fine with cold weather. We talked about primroses. They're fine with cold weather. Anything, certainly in the vegetable garden, you could be planting, you know, a lot of people have already planted their peas and potatoes and any of the leafy crops, lettuce, spinach, all those could certainly be planted. So there's plenty of things. And as we get a little bit farther along, you can find even things like petunias, and some of those will take some cold weather. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And anything, any events coming up that people can look forward to? I don't know. It may be a little bit early for a garden sort of.
Yeah, actually, we're having an event on April 18th at 7 o'clock at our Extension office, Bill Aldrich, who's with Chicagoland Gardening, which is a great magazine if people just want some interest. Even if you're not in Chicagoland, it's a great magazine, I think, for the Illinois and for the Midwest. He's also written several books on, you know, best perennials for Illinois, best annuals for Illinois. And so he's going to be joining us on April 18th at 7 o'clock at the Extension office, and people are welcome to join us. It should be a good evening. He's going to talk about best plants for Illinois, so we can't beat that topic, can you?
All right. Well, I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sandy Mason, she's horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. She is on this program once a month, always on the second Tuesday in the 10 o'clock hour. We talk about lawn and garden care, so you can tune in again next month. Also, on a regular basis, we have this program on our television station, WILL-TV, program called Illinois Gardener, every week, Thursdays, 7 o'clock, and it's a live show. There's also the opportunity there to call in and ask questions, so you can check that out if you have not done that already.